All right, guys, welcome in. You guys are probably wondering, where is Jeff at? Well, Jeff is on the road right now. He is in Nashville, Tennessee. That's part of our Dog Nation Before the Hedges tonight. We have an exclusive interview with five-star quarterback Jared Curtis at Nashville Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. But that's coming. We got a chance to hang out with Jared and his coach, kind of see what the program is like today. That will be part of our Big Five tonight here on Before the Hedges. But we got a little bit of recruiting business to talk about since then. Jared's not the only commitment to the Dogs since our last show last Wednesday night. He's not the only decommitment from the Dogs. So you got a lot of stuff going on right now with Georgia football recruiting. You got decommitments. You got big-time five-star commitments. You've got we're going to give you guys an update tonight on what we're hearing from the freshman Bulldogs that are really standing out, those class of 2024 freshmen. Now, we've heard a highlight basically about all of them, but what we're trying to do is try to bring some names that we're hearing the most frequent highlights about. That's part of our Big Five right now on Dog Nation. But we'll start tonight. Everybody wants to know about this. This is number one on the Big Five for Before Hedges tonight. Everybody wants to know, what's wrong with Georgia recruiting? That's an homage to the classic message board post on the Dog Nation forum. We had a user many years ago, many moons ago, started a threads like, what's wrong with Georgia recruiting? And turns out there's nothing wrong with Georgia recruiting. And there's nothing wrong with Georgia recruiting right now. But what's interesting is looking at the 24/7 sports rankings now, their combined team ranking. And you see that the Dogs are now number 15 in the country. That's because of a big flip over the weekend. Georgia lost its highest ranking commitment, five-star defensive lineman Justice Terry. He flipped his commitment to the USC Trojans. Also, another Georgia target, Isaiah Gibson out of Warner Robins, also commits to USC. Part of a flurry, I believe they got five commitments in one day. And like, I'm sure all those dedicated Dog Nation viewers are asking themselves tonight. They want to ask me tonight. They're like, Jeff, what's up with all these Georgia boys committing to play out in Cali? Is it the California love? Is it modern recruiting? Is it publicity and marketing? Well, I think the answer is really all of that stuff. I think a lot of people have their opinions. I think Justice Terry went out to USC. There's the chance to be coached by the guy that coached Coach Henderson, the guy that coached Aaron Donald in the NFL. Donald, according to reports, is actually going to kind of freelance a little bit and help out working with the USC defensive lineman a little bit. You have the Hollywood glitz and glamour. And like, this decision kind of reminds me a whole lot of Mykel Williams. He went out to California in the 2022 class. Mykel committed to USC for a time, but then he got back home to Georgia. He realized where he was growing up. He realized perhaps how hard it would be for his family, his siblings, to get out and watch him play out in Cali. And eventually he made the decision to flip back to Georgia. That's kind of what I think very well could happen here with Justice Terry. Give it time, folks, and you might see the five-star defensive lineman return to the fold in Athens. Isaiah Gibson's another big get for USC as well. In short, I really don't think there's much wrong with Georgia recruiting. Just kind of the ebb and flow of the cycle right now. Georgia is down to, they got a commitment in 2025. They lost a commitment in 2025. And, you know, there's a lot to look at there with the, with what's going on in the 25 class. But factually right now, we've got to say that Georgia right now is number 15 overall in the country in recruiting. And that's not something we're used to seeing. We'll go through all the numbers a little bit later on Before the Hedges with our kind of weekly food groups or weekly fundamentals of each Before the Hedges program. But right now, if everybody wants to wonder what's wrong with Georgia football recruiting, just relax. This is a situation that I think will be sorted out in time. And really, it gives Georgia a really good indication on perhaps what their key targets are looking for in their respective recruiting decisions. So I think a lot of it has to do with marketing. I think USC is trying to make a very big splash by getting guys to commit. In some circles, that's even being incentivized now just to make a commitment. And I think that's one of those things. Georgia will continue to recruit Justice Terry hard. They will continue to recruit him like a priority. And here's a sneak preview of what you're going to see later on is Justice Terry, after being in the fold, is a solid, dedicated commitment, now goes onto the top targets list as a USC commitment for the 2025 class. Very interesting right there. There you go. That right there is number one. And now we go to number two on our Before the Hedges Big Five, brought to you by Kroger. And we're going to take a look at, like, everybody wants to know about the freshmen. Everybody wants to know about the young guys. And I think, you know, as I stated a little bit earlier, Georgia has a lot of talent. You hear stuff all the time. If you keep your ear to the ground, you've got, I heard about a big play that Joseph Ajonye made recently. You see how everybody has a Justin Williams story that's watched practice a little bit. You hear great things about Jaden Riddell, how well he moves. You hear things about, you know, up and down. Nyjer Daniels dropping some 40 pounds already to go from 391 down to 340. But kind of what I've heard the most consistency from in terms of, you know, hey, this guy's pretty good, or hey, this guy might help Georgia sooner rather than later. I came up with five names because, hey, let's have our own big five inside the five right now, Before the Hedges, big five. And there's like five that I'm hearing a lot about. You're hearing a lot about Ellis Robinson, of course, and you know, he's making a play, whether it's an interception or in coverage, he's been consistent. KJ Bolden, you got to give the Buford safety a lot of this. He's also flashing a lot, making a lot of plays. Everybody sees how well he moves. He's actually shown a little bit more physicality than most maybe what would have thought out of the gate in Athens. Chris Cole is another guy. Chris Cole's a guy everybody's impressed by his length. They're impressed by how well he moves, how he moves in space, how he can be adaptable to being an inside backer, a box backer, but then also a guy out in coverage. You've got Daniel Calhoun out of Walton High School, the guy that's also lost some good weight, and he's really impressed folks by like how well he's moving and how well he's dropped some weight. Again, Daniel is a guy that appears to be in very good shape. He's acclimated to the Georgia program, running some twos right now. If you look at some of the practice lineups that the rotations for the offensive line that you're able to see so far in the media viewing periods, actually, and you see Daniel kind of repping some twos. And of course, his family, they got two older brothers that played college football. His dad, his father is very serious when it comes to training his boys and getting him ready for this level. And you've seen Daniel Calhoun has made a relatively quick adjustment to Georgia football. Kind of reminds me a little bit about how Trey Hill, when he got to Georgia many moons ago, when the offensive lineman wasn't flush, the offensive line room wasn't flush with All-Americans, how Daniel Calhoun has been able to break through a little bit and kind of turn some heads and show he might be ready to help Georgia sooner rather than later. And lastly, this is the three-star, Sakovi White, out of Northwest Georgia Cass High School. And it appears that Sakovi consistently making plays. I think if Anthony Evans III wasn't just flashing so brightly right now, that you might even hear Sakovi maybe breaking into maybe number three slot receiver, number two slot receiver a little bit more, because he's tough, he's physical, he can get separation, he can handle the physicality. Sakovi White's probably one of the strongest pound-for-pound receivers and football players on the entire Georgia roster. So you've got a lot to take a look at right there in terms of how things are going with all those fabulous freshmen for Georgia. And so that's the kind of the five we're hearing a lot about right now. So far, have you guys been reading the practice reports? Have you guys been paying attention to what's going on right now with Georgia football, with all the beat coverage by Mike Griffith and Connor Riley? You're hearing some names start to come more and more, because everybody tries to get their media briefings with Kirby Smart. Everybody tries to get their questions in, and there's a freshman question every once in a while. And those are kind of the names you're starting to hear a lot about, the guys that are consistently turning in good plays, good practices so far in Athens. Also heard a lot of good stuff about transfer receiver London Humphrey from Vanderbilt, actually from the Nashville area, as I think of it, while I'm here tonight, kind of hanging out at Nashville Christian Academy. But he's a guy that looks like a very consistent guy, looks like a guy that's already played in the SEC and that can really help Georgia there as well. So you're sitting there and you're looking at a lot of things right there in terms of, you know, what these guys are doing and how they're already kind of showing that maybe the SEC, maybe Georgia, while it's tough and while it's demanding, and they're getting roasted on the mic for messing up, but it's those young men are consistently we're hearing things that about that could help the Dogs sooner rather than later. Next up, that was number two on our Big Five. Number three, we had a recent decision. Also, you know, Jared Curtis was not the only recent Bulldog that made his decision to commit to Georgia. Three-star defensive lineman commit Stephon Shivers also committed to Georgia. And, you know, we've been able to get a lot of stories in on him. He was a guy growing up that he was always big for his size. He was a guy that was maybe 7 or 8. He was playing with 9 and 10-year-olds, and he would always have to carry his birth certificate in his back pocket because people would kind of question, hey, is he this old? Is he old enough to play in this league? And well, no, actually, he's a little bit younger. You keep going with Stephon Shivers, and he's a guy that plays a lot of basketball. He's a guy that the opening to his tape kind of feels like the opening to the classic Star Wars film. You know, you see that big Star Destroyer kind of chasing a small Rebel cruiser. Well, for all you Star Wars fans out there, but like the first play on his junior tape is he's dotting the eye. He's lined up in the eye. They've got him at tailback, and he just scoots 62 yards for a touchdown for his Humboldt High School program in Tennessee. He goes 62 yards, and then you hear into more stories about how Stephon Shivers is actually plays basketball. He's a kind of like an 18 to 20 points per game guy. He has scored already through his 3 seasons of varsity basketball at 6'4", 6'5", 355 pounds. He's already scored 1,000 career points. He scored 27 points in the district tournament. A lot of putbacks, a lot of working in the paint, but you add all those stories together and you really have a very, very interesting looking prospect with a big man that's going to play the nose. He's going to be a true zero tech, and he's going to be able to reset the line of scrimmage for Georgia eventually in a way that Kirby Smart's best defenses are prone to do. You've got to have guys that can strike and immediately knock back the blockers, which resets the line of scrimmage. That sort of penetration makes it harder for the offense to block with cohesion, and it kind of wreaks a lot of havoc right there. But Stephon Shivers, just a 3-star, but he's a perfect fit for Georgia with what they're looking for in terms of the defensive line position. So Georgia loses a defensive lineman over the last weekend, Justice J. Terry, and they pick up a defensive lineman in Stephon Shivers out of Humboldt, Tennessee. So lots going on right now in our Big Five. Those are three quick ones. Now, let's take a look at this. Here's one of our Dog Nation conversations. Really impressed here with the 4-star defensive end. He's an edge, Chidera Uzodiribe. Talked to him all the time. He says that's his guy. Let's learn right now about, he sounds like, get this, guys, 6'3½, 250 pounds. His dad was in the Army. His dad was a policeman for many, many years, and his mom is a school teacher. And Bryce Davis out of Grimsley High School in Greensboro, North Carolina, kind of brings that seriousness to the way he plays football, the way he approaches football. Let's take a listen right now to our Dog Nation conversation, the first of two tonight with Bryce Davis.
Why do the Dogs have your eye?
I mean, definitely just that, how many people they put in the league, that development piece. I mean, I talked to pretty much everybody on that staff as well. I got a connection to everybody there. I mean, Coach Smart, Coach Chad, Coach Scott. I mean, I feel like just that defense. And then with the addition of Coach T-Rock there, that it's just something special about Georgia, that development piece. I'll be playing against the best every day as well. So, I mean, that's just intriguing.
Have you been up for spring practice yet? Have you been up for a visit yet?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was just over there. Not last weekend, but the weekend before last.
Were they padded up, though? Did you get to see them padded up?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was the first day of pads. That was when we were there, first day of pads.
What was that like? I'm sure you paid attention to all those new big offensive linemen, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, for sure. That freshman class, yeah. So that intrigues me. Just, I mean, going against people like that, like, just get it better. I mean, iron sharp as iron. So that's what I want to do. I want to go against the best.
Who's your primary recruiter at Georgia? Is it Scott or is it Uzo?
Coach Chad Aaron.
Okay. Well, what do you think about that guy? What's his approach, and how does it resonate with you?
I mean, nah, that's my guy. You know what I mean? Like, I talk to Coach Sid, like, probably, like, twice a week, maybe. I mean, like, it's just, like, it can be about ball, just about life. Like, he's just real energetic, man. I like the way he interacts with all the players. When I was there, I got to sit in the meetings, and I feel like he's really, really a guru with the with how he plays the game, or how, like, how they could use me, explains how they could use me, how versatile I could be. So, I mean, like, he knows his stuff for sure, so. And then him and Coach Jar, I mean, I feel like that's a great duo on the edge. So,
you mean Coach Jones, Jarvis Jones, Coach
yes.
Jar?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Have you ever watched his college film, man? He was that dude, man. Have you ever seen him play?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, he was a dog for sure. So learning from those two guys, man, I mean, Thomas doesn't get any better than that.
Bryce, this is the big news for DLs, everybody. It seemed like every recruit I talked to early this week has an opinion. What was your takeaway from noticing what Southern Cal did over the weekend, like flipping Justice from Georgia and then, you know, the momentum they're trying to build in their class? Is that something that a guy like you pays attention to when other peer recruits are taking a look at that?
I mean, I think this whole, like, I find it just cool to watch when people, like, when people flip and people commit. So, but it doesn't really affect me too much. You know, I know both of those guys, Justice and Isaiah, like, both of them cool guys, like hardworking dudes. But I mean, I feel like what USC is building, they building something special for sure. So, but it really doesn't affect me too much. I just kind of find it cool to look at.
So weren't you considering them for an official, or was that South Carolina in the game call?
No, yeah, I'm considering them for an official. Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. When people read this about you, what are the things that you hope they pick up on that matter to you, that are important to you? So it's not just a story about an All-American edge. It's a story about a kid named Bryce growing up with an Army dad that molded him. Like, for you, what do you want people to know about you?
I mean, just that I'm going to go into a program and work. I mean, and just try to make that program better, try to let them make me better as well. Like, I care about the little things, like the relationships, the education, and the development. It's not too much, like, about the – you know, like the NIL and the publicity and things like that. I want to get there, get to work, and then end up with a great career wherever I'm at. So
I knew you guys would like that with Bryce Davis, guys. He is all business. He's one of those recruits that, you know, listen, I've been doing this a little bit, more than a minute. And sometimes you can tell when high school players, even well-mannered, well-raised high school players are in there, oh, I'm talking to adults mode, but you don't get that with Bryce Davis. He's a guy that it's not just how many yes sirs and no sirs he rattles off in our interview, but just kind of the way he does it. There's an impetus. There's a sense of urgency to those yes sirs and no sirs. Like, he's really been raised well. He's really been raised right. He's very respectful. And I think he told me this line, and this will go in the Dog Nation story, is he said, "How I do anything is how I do everything." And that really struck a chord with me in terms of, like, he is going to be all about his business and every aspect of his life. He's going to take it seriously. He's going to take it as a reflection of his character. And he wants to create generational wealth with his family. So good number four right there on our Before the Hedges Big Five right now. Moving fast, because I know you guys want to get to the big show. We're here in Nashville, Tennessee, on the campus of Nashville Christian School, the Eagles, because we wanted to talk to Jared Curtis, the number one quarterback in the country, the number nine overall prospect for 2026. And he recently committed to Georgia. He didn't really know he was going to do it. He asked him a couple weeks ago. He actually thought about committing in January. He saw some coaches moving back and forth, and he's like, let me hold on a little bit. And then he decided over the weekend, he was in Athens, and he's like, you know what? I think it's time to be a dog. We came out here and up here to Nashville to kind of get the story, to get an exclusive interview here with Jared Curtis. Very great young man, very great representative of Nashville Christian School and Jeff Brothers and his program already. But that's enough Jeff talk. You guys want to hear from Jared Curtis. You want to know what he's all about. That's coming at you right now here on Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger. Jared Curtis, hey man, you're the newest, you're the first commitment of the 2026 class. Can you tell me, I guess, basically why Georgia was the move and why you wanted to do it right now?
Yes, sir. Just the stability in the coaching staff, and knowing Coach Smart and Coach Bubba aren't going anywhere. And those are my two biggest connections at UGA, and just getting to build a connection with them is always special.
So you had to go tell Kirby you wanted to commit. And like you said, some of the assistants, Coach Bobo, Coach Gummy, basically told you how to what to say and what to do. But then you walk up to him like in the practice, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you rewind that moment for me?
So I was talking to Coach Smart a little bit before practice, like 20 minutes in his office, and it all went good and stuff. And I told Coach Coach Bobo and Coach Gummy like 5 minutes after I got out of his office that I was wanting to commit. And they was really happy for me. And I was like, so how should I tell Coach Smart? And they was like, you just go up to him, say, hey, you want to be a Dog? And go Dogs. And then that's that. And I was like, so that's pretty much what I've done.
You walk up to him, you say, Coach, I want to be a Dog, and go Dogs. And then what was Kirby's response if you had to act it out? What was Kirby doing after that? Did he give you a big hug? What does he do?
Yes, sir. He gave me a hug and wanted to talk to my mom. So went over to talk to my mom.
Jared, for you, a lot of people are going to watch you play. A lot of people are going to say, hey, that's a Georgia football commit right now. What matters to you about the way you play the game? If somebody watches your film and you want them to come away from watching you play with like one or two things, what do you want them to know about you?
That I'm tough. I would want them to know that, and that I never want to give up, no matter the score or what it is. I'm always want to fight to the last down. So that's two things I like.
Jared, you're not just a guy that wins football games and runs for 13 touchdowns every season. You got hobbies, you got interests, you're a high school kid. Tell me a little bit about your enthusiasm for working on four-wheelers.
So I've been riding four-wheelers since I was three. So we have – or no, not three, sorry. Since I was four, when I started playing football, I was four. And so we started riding dirt bikes, four-wheelers, razors, anything like that. And so me and my dad's always been – like he would always teach me how to work on it. And then so recently I've been selling and trading four-wheelers and razors and dirt bikes, stuff like that.
There's always an aha moment, or sometimes recruits refer to it as when the lightning bolt hits you and you're like, I know where I want to be. I know where I want to go. For you, what was that moment like? Can you basically describe when you knew you wanted to be a Dog?
Yes, sir. So the like I said, I had a great conversation with Coach Smart, and getting to talk to him again since the last time I've been up there was a special moment. So after the conversation we had, I was like, you know, I think this is time. It's time. I think this is a place for me. And, you know, right then and there, I was like, I just want to commit.
Jared, I think the coolest thing I learned about you today was that everybody sees five-star and number one in the country, but you had to sit for a little bit. Like, you had to wait. You basically redshirted a year. Like, you went the span of, like, probably almost a year and a half without playing football. What sort of lesson did that teach you?
Never take anything for granted. So no matter the day, you can get anything stripped from you, which is scary. But, you know, so at the end of the day, you just can't take anything for granted and be grateful.
What did you like about the way Georgia recruited you? It was Gummy, it was Coach Bobo, it was Coach Smart. What stood out about the way Georgia did it compared to all the other offers you had?
Yes, sir. So when I first got my original offers from Georgia, it was from Coach Munkin. Coach Todd Munkin came to school. And so that was a big deal. My mom and him had a really close relationship. And then I went back up there when Coach Bubba was up there. They re-offered me and basically just let me know that they still want me and that they're ready for my commitment whenever that will be. So that stood out. I've been up there a lot. So that's always it's always good.
Jared, one of the things quarterbacks have to do, especially when they're the anchor of a class, the first guy in the class, is you're going to have to talk to other guys. You're going to talk to your linemen, you're going to talk to your running backs, your wide receivers. I mean, I'm sure the coaches will give you a list about this is who we want. Like, what's going to be your pitch to a guy that you call somebody up for the first time and you're like, hey, man, I love your film. Like, how are you going to tell them how you want to convey to them that, hey, it'd be great to play with you at Georgia?
I just probably tell them straight up, come down there, because whenever I'll find the dates, line the dates up, and maybe get a visit set up with them, and so that'll be a start. and then just getting to know him more and talk to him, and then hopefully get him come catch for me one day. Maybe even block, get some linemen.
How did your mom and dad take the news? Did you have to convince them, or did they leave it all up to you to make this decision?
They left it all up to me. I didn't tell my mom. My mom found out from media. So after I posted it, she found out. She's always loved Georgia, so she cried for a little bit. But so that was an exciting moment.
So mom had to find out through your Instagram account, right?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool. And she was good with it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Jared, you got a message to the fans. I know a lot of people are going to follow you on social media that might buy your trading card one day or whatever. But like for you, what's your message to the Georgia fans as they start to get to know you as one of the future quarterbacks in Athens?
Not really much. Go Dogs. Pretty much it.
That's a good one. That's the one Coach Smart uses a lot too, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Jared, man, appreciate you. Thank you for your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, guys, what'd you think about that? You know, you had to learn about him a little bit. This wouldn't be Before the Hedges if you didn't get a chance to learn about him a little bit. He likes to kind of modify and create, fix up racing four-wheelers, performance four-wheelers, and that's what he likes to do in his spare time. I love that story about how, you know, everybody regards him as a five-star quarterback and the number one and all this and all that. Well, he actually he redshirted. He's a true 2025 prospect, but he reclassified to 2026. And that reclassification process meant that he had 2 8th grade years. It meant that he had to sit and watch his second season of 8th grade football. Couldn't play. It was kind of killing him. And then the season before that, it ended with an injury. So when he finally got to play as a freshman, he was like, it meant a lot to him. He couldn't wait to get out on the field and help his team. And it really showed him not to take the game for granted. He's not this one of these guys that's big on interviews. He wants to fish. He wants to ride four-wheelers fast. And he wants to play ball. Excuse me, he wants to play ball. That's about it. And that's a good way to talk about a 2026 quarterback commit. He's going to have to start committing for recruiting for the Dogs, talking to other potential commitments. He's going to have to start being that Pied Piper, that ambassador to the class and say, hey, man, come to Georgia with me. We'll do big things. Let's go win another natty together. You got Jared Curtis, 6'4", about 225, committed to the Dogs. And really, he's actually, a little bit of news here, he's going to come back to Georgia for G-Day in April. So that'll be his next visit. And this is for those that are of that hemming and hawing crowd, and they're like, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. 2026 is so far away. Jared Curtis told me this afternoon that he's currently not visiting any other schools. And to him right now, the definition of commitment means is you're only going to check out Georgia. You're only going to visit Georgia right now. And my friends, I think that's what everybody wants to hear tonight on Before the Hedges, brought to you by Kroger. Hope you enjoyed the interview. We're going to have a lot more with Jared Curtis on the website to come. It was really fun getting here to talk here and hang out with him. Took a bunch of pictures and, you know, a cool little aside story. You saw him kind of in his high school jersey in that interview, but he was wearing a Georgia red G hoodie today. And he didn't know that the Dog Nation reporter, the AJC, the Atlanta media was coming up to Nashville to talk to him today. But like, he just wearing the Georgia gear already repping the G as the only commitment. And so far of the 2026 class in Athens, pretty cool right there. Pretty cool stuff. Really appreciate Nashville Christian and everybody here for being so kind and welcoming and accommodating to the reporter from Atlanta who drove up today. So really awesome stuff. You heard all the questions. You heard all the answers from Jared Curtis. It wouldn't be a Before the Hedges brought to you by Kroger without our Dog Nation question of the week. And what we try to do is this is the question of the week. You know, that's the one everybody talks to is like, do you guys feel – talked about him earlier in our first segment of Before the Hedges, the Big Five. Do you feel Justice Terry will eventually flip back to Georgia? You guys are weighing it. You've heard what, you know, my take on that. Do you guys feel Justice J. Terry will eventually flip back to Georgia? My answer to that right now is I got to say yes. I think eventually that home state feel, that homegrown feel, everything he likes about Georgia, everything that mattered to him about Georgia will be interesting. Now, the one wild card with that is if you see USC is able to maintain that commitment, maybe they are able to somehow finagle a commitment out of Elijah Griffin, and both of those guys potentially go out to California. Those two guys have wanted to play together for quite some time. And I remember how many times Justice has told me how much he couldn't wait to be at Georgia, how Georgia has everything he's looking for. And I think given time, maybe Georgia goes and has another brilliant season in the SEC. Maybe Justice takes a look at how USC fares in the first season of the Big 18, the Big 10, whatever they're calling it right now. This is one of those, I feel like it's a recruitment that Georgia can win. They can consistently recruit him. Like Kirby Smart said this week in his media briefing about how he was just very consistent with his messaging for KJ Bolden, and eventually the Dogs won out. I think that's something that Georgia can do right there in the 2025 class with Jay Terry as well. That's my opinion. Would love to see what everybody else thinks in the comments section below about our question of the week so far this week. All right. Now, this is the time of our show where we kind of hit you with, you know, we call it the fundamentals. We call it the basic food groups. I think we called it, I was on a 80s, 90s rap theme today with our producer, Kaylee Mansell. So I called this the salt and pepper of this week's show. Not the salt and pepper, salt and pepper. We had to push it. But let's take a look at this. Here's what we got right now with our weekly things. You got a class breakdown, and everybody likes this class breakdown. It's the offensive class. No new changes here. You still got Bo Walker. You still got Elias Williams. You still got Ethan Barbour, 1 5-star, 1 4-star, 1 3-star. But you guys will start, you're going to look at this next slide and you're going to be like crickets because you're not going to like what you see. You're not going to like to see the tumbleweeds kind of blown across the screen because there's no longer a 5-star here. There's no longer Justice J. Terry. Stephon Shivers, yeah, he's trying to fill a hole. He's trying to be a space eater. That's what he's going to do for Georgia eventually as a zero tech. Absorbing blocks, soaking up blocks like a sponge. But right now, he's the only defensive lineman in the class. There's only two commitments right now on the defensive side of the ball. And that right there is your class breakdown for 2025. Moving on, let's take a look at our recruiting snapshot. I know that 15 class ranked nationally just doesn't look right. Georgia has 5 commitments, 3 on offense, 2 on defense. Here's another change. 1 out-of-state commitment in the 2025 class. That's from the Volunteer State. That's from Humboldt, Tennessee. That's about 2 hours, hour and a half, hour 45 away from Nashville, where I'm at tonight. 1 out-of-state commitment. The state with the most commits is still Georgia. 3 offensive players among the 5 highest-rated commits. 3 offensive players among the 10 highest-rated commits. All 5 commits are in the SEC footprint. But look at the breakdown now. This is another one that feels a little unusual. To be talking about numbers like this already in March. Ah, look at that. Kaylee is not happy with the recent change in graphics. Yeah, people are going to think, hey, is something wrong with this graphic? Dog Nation is shown to have a 5-star graphic artist here on staff, but people are going to look at that one and try to think, there's some test corrections in this one. Did we get all that right? Look at that, 5-star commits. Only one on offense, only 1 top 50 commit. That's Elias Williams. 2 top 100 commits, that's Elias Williams and also Jaden Perlotti. Same 2 guys, those are the only 2 top 150 or top 200 commits. Elias Williams and Jaden Perlotti. There you have your 2025 recruiting snapshot. Now you guys are all like, hey, like, what's going on here? And let me see those top early targets. Got some changes here. You got Nathaniel Oswi-Boateng. Everybody calls him Woo. We wrote about him recently on DogNation.com. Very serious, very impressive young linebacker. His older brother is already in the NFL. His older brother was a Butkus Award winner and an All-American at Notre Dame. He's already got a decision. He's already got an official visit. Excuse me. Pardon me. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. He's already got an official visit scheduled with Georgia for the middle of June. Zion Grady, we keep him there all the time. Edge target, maybe he moves a little bit higher up the board now for Georgia. He's already quite high, but the recent commitment from Isaiah Gibson out of Warner Robins to USC is interesting there with Georgia's hierarchy at edge. Eugene Hilton Jr. out of Zionsville, Indiana. That's the son of NFL great Ty Hilton. T.Y. Hilton played so many years fabulously catching balls for the Indianapolis Colts. You guys heard from Bryce Davis earlier in our show is one of our Dog Nation conversations. Bryce Davis had a Greensboro, North Carolina. Dijon Lee recently visited Georgia, recently visited Alabama. Matt Zollers, another development recently is Zollers has decided He's going to visit Georgia on April the 2nd. Coming around, he's already visiting Penn State, Pitt. He's going to visit Mizzou. And then he's going to visit Georgia on April the 2nd. And then his decision comes on April the 4th. Georgia gets that coveted last visit. Juan Gaston Jr., Darren Akingabon. Those are your first half of the top early targets. And we got some changes on the other side of the top early targets. You see a big move here for C.J. Wiley out of Milton High School. Moves all the way to up to number 6. He's right there with his good friend Travis Smith Jr. out of Westlake. Number 4 is Zayden Walker out of Schley County in Ellaville. And then you got a new name here, USC commitment. Justice Terry slides in at number 3. And really, I'm going to be honest here, the difference in importance, pecking order, ability to help Georgia is kind of razor thin for me between Justice Terry, Elijah Griffin, and then David Sanders Jr. out of Charlotte, North Carolina. David just visited Alabama. He's going to visit Ohio State this weekend. He visited Georgia 2 weekends ago. He remains a very coveted target. Georgia's going to get an official. Clemson's going to get an official. South Carolina gets the first official in April. He's got Tennessee, and he's got Ohio State as well. But those top early targets, I just showed you 15. Let's be real here. This is a moment where I try to be real with everybody watching and listening over the years. I don't think this is a situation where Georgia can go 15 for 15, but I think this is a situation where Georgia can probably get 8, 9, 10 of these guys in the class. Maybe a little bit more than that, but those are the guys we deem as top early targets. If you guys are just watching Before the Hedges for the first time, top early target means a guy that is a position of need for Georgia in this class, that also there's strong mutual interest between both Georgia and the prospect. I don't feel like, you know, this should be the highest rated guys that Georgia's offered. I think there's a mixture of need, ability, and maybe a probability of the fact that Georgia wants them, and these young men are definitely considering the opportunity to play between the hedges in Athens. Those are your top early targets. Let's take a look at just off the list. Some new additions there. Nikolai Brooks. He's actually out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He's a big man. Used to be at Buford for a little bit. Used to be at St. Francis for a little bit. He has scheduled his official visit to Georgia. Remember, we gave you guys a full list of what we had so far on official visitors week by week in June, weekend by weekend in June. We'll try to maybe dust that off and show that every other week here on Before the Hedges so you get a good example of what that official visit season is going to look like in June. Nikolai is going to come in on that May 31st, June 2nd weekend. You see a couple of new names here. You see Isaiah Gibson now off the top 15 list, and now he's down here as just off the list. Since he committed to USC, Ben Hanks Jr., that's a young man that just recently visited Georgia. He said there was a tweet he shared out, and he called it family. He had a picture there with Kirby Smart. Ben Hanks is actually his father actually played at Florida. You see a lot of guys here. Christian Garrett, love his game at Bogart, Georgia. Out of Prince Avenue Christian, feels like you hear a lot of Clemson, Georgia there with that one. Let's take a look at the next slide right here, just off the list. More big names, and you guys will notice it. Julian Lewis, who had kind of been a fixture maybe in the top 10, top 15 for the last maybe month and a half or so, like we did feel that there was something there with Julian, and now we kind of feel like things are happening where, you know, he the thoughts of him ending up at Georgia to me have diminished a lot over the last month. That's just my feeling, my opinion there, but it feels like the thoughts of Julian becoming a dog, not as strong as what they used to be. That's what the magic eight ball would tell me. Ryan Montgomery, the other quarterback target in the class, he's already still got an official visit scheduled for Georgia as well. Jamarian Morrow out of Germantown, Tennessee. It's funny, that was the one man that Jared Curtis said he wants to try and help recruit to Georgia. Another Tennessee guy like him that he can pitch and catch and throw the ball to as well. Jared Smith out of Alabaster, Mason Short out of Evans, Georgia. You hear Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, really Georgia, Clemson there with Mason Short. That right there, folks, looks like our just off the list right now for what we got going on here with this class. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed the show. We are ripping and running. We're going NASCAR right now. I'd like to thank each and everybody out there for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed the Jared Curtis interview. That will go up in podcast form. That will go up on our YouTube channel as well shortly after the program. I hope you guys like getting a chance to hear from Jared Curtis. really quickly after he committed to Georgia. I'd like to thank Kaylee for all of her help as we're kind of on the run here trying to make sure we get our appointed rounds and before the hedges must go on here for each and every one of you guys. I always appreciate you guys listening. I always appreciate you guys watching. And guys, what's that time of the show? That's the time of the show where I say, that's your intel. I'm Jeff Sintel. We'll see you guys a little bit later on the pages of DogNation.com. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you watching.